This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. We had some technical issues yesterday morning, so this morning we want to try again. We'll hear about community health centers.
Which is just a fantastic model that a lot of people don't know about. It's federally supported nonprofit organizations that are locally managed.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. If you haven't responded to the U.S. Census, you might find a field worker showing up on your doorstep soon. Caitlin Tan has more.
Census workers are following up with West Virginia households that have not self-reported through the mail, online, or by phone. With about a month left to report, the response rate so far is 55.5%. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. In 2010, the final response rate in West Virginia was about 59%. Making it 6% below the national average. Census numbers, which are collected every 10 years, directly impact federal funding for the state. The count for 2020 will determine how much of the $675 billion federal dollars will be given to the Mountain State. And that's according to Stephen Shope with the U.S. Census.
This data we lived with for 10 years, so keep it 10 minutes to respond, and it'll benefit your family, your community, your state for the next 10 years.
The money helps fund housing, transportation, healthcare, education, and emergency response. Programs that often lack finances in economically distressed areas such as West Virginia. An undercount of the population could also lead to losing a representative in Congress. Currently, West Virginia has 3. The census count will end September 30th, a month sooner than previously planned. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan.
The coronavirus confronts every aspect of our society, with our healthcare systems front and center in the crosshairs. When hospitals canceled non-essential medical procedures at the beginning of the pandemic, it created an economic freefall. U.S. hospitals have lost $200 billion and laid off nearly 1 million workers. Urban hospitals and clinics have faced a run on equipment and supplies. While rural facilities have seen fewer COVID-19 cases, they took the same hit to their income and revenue. On the latest episode of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's program, Us and Them, host Trey Kay speaks with healthcare providers all around West Virginia to find out just how healthy is our healthcare system in this age of a pandemic, and which institutions will survive to help redefine the future of medicine. Here's an excerpt.
A few years ago, I met Martha Carter.
I am a certified nurse midwife. And was in clinical practice for about 20 years.
She was also the CEO of Family Care, a community-based healthcare system she created in Putnam County 30 years ago to meet the needs of low-income rural women and families. When I visited Carter recently at her very rural home, she was at the backyard pool with her young grandchildren from New York City.
It's a new experience for them. They're out here in the woods and learning about rural living.
Rural living is part of what's defined Carter's personal and professional life for nearly 4 decades. She and her husband built this house in the 1980s, right about the same time she started Family Care. It was part of her plan to provide health care for women who were too far away from bigger cities like Charleston. It quickly expanded to treat families. She chose a business model that would work for her patients, nearly all of them uninsured or on Medicaid.
The access to care for low-income women and their families was pretty lacking in this area. As we searched for models that worked, we actually tried a couple different things, but landed on the community health center model, which is just a fantastic model that a lot of people don't know about. It's federally supported. Nonprofit organizations that are locally managed and governed by a board of directors that is a majority of patients of that health center.
So there's who are a great in the community.
Yes, yeah, so there's a great tie with the community. The board is very close to the community, knows what the needs are, can help advise the organization to make sure that they're filling the needs of the community. So the community health center model is very effective, and it was a great fit for what we were trying to do.
Carter retired from Family Care in 2019 and is no longer involved with the organization. But she says it did receive some federal stimulus money from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, also known as the CARES Act.
It was about a two-week chunk of money. Any money is a help, of course, and it staves off closure and having to lay off staff, but I don't know how they're doing. I mean, it must be really tough right now.
Carter is now a consultant and still active in the healthcare industry. She serves on a national board that advises Congress on Medicaid and healthcare programs for low-income children. As Mike Brumage mentioned earlier, telehealth has been a saving grace for health systems that can make it work technically. Martha Carter has long been a proponent for telehealth as a way to serve rural communities. She wants Congress and state Medicaid programs to continue paying for telehealth and make it a permanent option for low-income patients.
A lot of the flexibility that's been put in place through the pandemic stops at the end of the pandemic, at the end of the public health emergency, or in some period of time, 30 days, 60 days, sometimes a couple months. So I'm actually really worried that a lot of the good things that have happened, the things that have really helped increase access in rural communities and disadvantaged communities, are going to go away, at least for some period of time and maybe forever after the pandemic or after the public health emergency.
This public health emergency in many ways is something that's kind of bringing attention and maybe holding people's feet to the fire.
Well, we've had to be innovative and flexible and during the pandemic. And I hope we don't just go back to business as usual, because the healthcare system that we had and we still have, but to a lesser degree, isn't really designed for people. It's designed for the healthcare system. It doesn't really reach a lot of people who need care.
Do you have any idea where we'll land in terms of getting back to a medical system that can tend to general care as opposed to just responding to mostly the COVID pandemic?
My hope is that as we've reported outcomes by race and ethnicity and really realize how badly the pandemic has affected communities of color, that all really sparks changes, not just in the healthcare system, but in our entire culture. I really don't know how this is all going to turn out, of course. I have strong faith in the community health center movement, for sure, because the health centers have always been open to everybody and serve a high proportion of low-income people, communities of color, migrants, immigrants. And so I would love to see the health center model expanded across the country. I think there's a lot of work to be done in the healthcare system to really ensure justice for all, and I'm not sure exactly how that's all going to happen.
The community health centers Carter advocates for are known as federally qualified health centers. They receive government funding and are required to serve everyone, regardless of their ability to pay. In West Virginia, 1 in 4 people gets their care from community health centers. These systems are struggling for economic survival, like all the rest. Increasingly, larger health systems in West Virginia are expanding their footprint into areas with small, local, regional hospitals and clinics. I asked Carter about that.
Well, we've gone through this cycle a couple of times. There is a good case to be made for care that's integrated so that when care is needed, there's a system past primary care of specialists and hospital care and rehab and residential care. The whole system needs to be well integrated. There's also, of course, a movement to reward healthcare systems for keeping the cost of care down while keeping the quality of care up. So one of the ways that hospital systems can do that, or any system can do that, is by controlling a larger share of the market and sort of vertically and horizontally integrating care. So it's understandable why that's happening. But you've heard me say that I believe so strongly in the community health center model And so when a hospital system comes in into a small town and puts a little clinic there and it's new and people go there, it winds up potentially weakening the community health center in that town and then makes it more difficult for that health center to provide the full range of services for everybody who needs it.
This is an excerpt of the latest episode of our show, Us and Them, titled Forest Apart, The Delicate and Crazy Dance of American Healthcare. To hear the rest of the show, tune into West Virginia Public Broadcasting Saturday at 3 p.m. You can also download Us and Them wherever you get your podcasts or listen online at wvpublic.org. This episode of Us and Them is presented with support from the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation and the West Virginia Humanities Council. Musician, songwriter, and producer Nick Lowe returned to the mountain stage flanked by surf rock legends Los Straitjackets last fall. They bring us our mountain stage song of the week.
This is called What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? So funny about peace, love, and understanding. And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Who are the trusted? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
That's our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding by Nick Lowe and Los Straitjackets. Hear more Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Each time I feel
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from the Charleston Area Medical Center and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glennis Ford. This is West Virginia Morning.
Understanding, brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
No straitjackets. No straitjackets.